During the first week of my vacation, my children and their families came to visit, which was, of course, heavenly. Well, one afternoon, Richard and I were working on a jigsaw puzzle in the family room, and my son Ben and my son-in-law Rich were sitting on the couch, and they began talking about fatherhood. Don't worry, they know that we were listening, and they know that I'm sharing this with you today, so all is well. And Ben began by saying, "So Rich, is fatherhood the way you thought it would be?" And there was a long pause, and then they both burst out laughing. And they began talking about how it's so much more work than either of them expected it to be, how the demands and needs of a baby are intense and unrelenting, how much they miss sleep. But they also made it clear, they conveyed in their own way, how much each of them is head over heels in love with their daughter. And then the conversation took a very touching turn, because they began to talk about their wives. And they said that no matter how much they help, they said that they give a lot, but Riley and Emily give everything. That their job is all-encompassing. They said, mothers are the hub. They're the point people. They're the ones who keep everything on track, make sure everything happens that needs to happen. And Rich said, however much we may help, they still have ultimate responsibility. They have the bottom line authority, and we are in the assisting role. And Ben said, no matter what is going on with me or what is going on with Vivian, Riley keeps our family moving forward. And I thought, wow, what an incredible conversation. My father never would have had a conversation with another father like that when I was a child, or ever. You know, things were very different back then, way, way, way back then. Typically, men were the breadwinners outside of the home, and the women were the so-called homemakers. You know, raising children was considered to be women's work, and while it was appreciated, it was also undervalued. And certainly, I never heard men talk about motherhood with the same kind of reverence and almost awe that Ben and Rich were doing. You know, the fact that conversations like theirs, and I don't think it's the only one like that, I know there are other men out there that have conversations like that, the fact that that happens today shows how much our world has changed. The appreciation for the feminine, including the love and strength and wisdom and the organizational skills of mothers, has gone way up. And at the same time, men have become more active in parenting. It's a beautiful thing to see. They're more engaged and involved and helpful. All of which says to me that we are moving into our wholeness, men and women alike. Today, masculine and feminine are not so much gender designations as they are descriptions of integral aspects of each and every one of us. We all have the masculine and the feminine within us, and we develop it and express those sides of ourselves according to what feels right for us. It's all good, and it's all God. And I might add that it's high time. It's high time for those old rigid and stereotypical gender roles to be blown apart, and for the emphasis truly to be on the wholeness of the individual, whatever that may look like. Well, you know, our way shower was all about wholeness. Jesus basically told us about how to manifest the kingdom of heaven on earth, and his teachings were called the Way. And the Way very clearly included integrating both the divine masculine, which I would define as that sort of driving, assertive, mind-focused part of ourselves, with the divine feminine, the loving, receptive, heart-centered part of ourselves. He basically said that in order to experience your wholeness and the kingdom of heaven on earth, you develop all aspects of who you are. He not only taught this, but he demonstrated it, even in his language. You know, in the New Testament, it mentions sometimes that Jesus referred to God as Abba or Papa in order to convey this idea of parental love. But in the Gnostic Gospels, those ancient scriptures that were not included in the Bible canon, Jesus often referred to the Creator as Abba, Amma, Father, Mother, God. Incorporating the divine feminine as well as the divine masculine. And he also, of course, expressed all of this in his own life, in his own way of being, both aspects of himself. I like to say that he was both divinely masculine and divinely feminine. And here's how I think of it. Like the divine masculine and the divine feminine are aspects of spirit, or that all-encompassing presence and substance of which each and every one of us is made. But when we embody and express these characteristics, we are divinely masculine and divinely feminine all together. And Jesus, of course, you know, we say that he was the Christ, which means the fullest and most perfect expression of God in humankind, which conveys that he was whole, that he was fully human, and was showing us how to do the same. And of course, we think about what we admire in him. It's such a beautiful thing, right? Because on the one hand, we admire, we respect, we're in awe of his tremendous courage and his convictions, but also just that exquisite tenderness and compassion that just touches our hearts. Well, of course, Jesus also included women in his ministry. He not only surrounded himself with male disciples, but also holy women, his mother Mary, Mary Magdalene, her sister Martha, and others. Jesus loved and respected women and treated them as equals. Saw them as equals. And of course, as we so often and beautifully fills my heart, that we talk about here at Unity Renaissance, Mary Magdalene was his spiritual partner, probably his wife also, but we feel pretty certain that she was at least his spiritual partner, his kind of co-leader, if you will. He later said that Mary Magdalene was the woman who knew all. He designated her the apostle to the apostles. My gosh, what an amazing partnership between them. What an amazing wholeness. And in that treasure trove of Gnostic Gospels that was discovered in Nag Hammadi, Egypt in 1945, we find, again, more evidence of how thoroughly Jesus' ministry involved and elevated women. There's a wonderful book called Mary Magdalene Revealed by Megan Watterson. Listen to the subtitle. It's Mary Magdalene Revealed, the First Apostle, Her Feminist Gospel, and the Christianity We Haven't Tried Yet. And in that book she writes, the various scriptures that didn't make the cut to be a part of the canonical Bible all had a common theme: the confirmation of the presence of women in Jesus' ministry and his exceptional relationship with Mary Magdalene. Well, why haven't we heard about this before, you might ask? You have in Uni Renaissance, but but it all goes back to what the church fathers wanted Christianity to include and what they didn't. And Watterson goes on to write, If the early church fathers were going to establish male authority, Mary Magdalene's true identity and relationship with Jesus, according to these other competing and conflicting early sacred texts from the Jesus movements in the first and second centuries, then Mary Magdalene and her profound gospel would have to be buried, and her identity would have to be retold as someone far less significant to Jesus than she was in all of this ancient scripture. It was by design. And of course, what she's referring to is exactly what happened. The Gospel of Mary Magdalene was buried. And in essence, so was Mary Magdalene herself. She was buried under these false accusations, this false labeling of being a prostitute. But you can't keep the truth buried, and you can't keep a good woman down. And it's all coming out now. Nevertheless, like Megan Watterson, I find myself wondering how different things would have been if the church had embraced rather than suppressed the feminine from the beginning. She writes, "If we hadn't silenced women and asked them to leave the altar from the start, I wonder what the world would be like now. And I wonder how girls and women would be treated if we would have been able all along to hear who Jesus was, who Jesus is, according to women, to mothers, to daughters, to the souls in a human body that can actually create life inside them. Or to put it another way, I'm excited to see how the world might change once we do. And I am absolutely with her on that." You know, the potential for a different kind of Christianity is, of course, what Unity embraces and endorses and advocates. This intermingling of the divine masculine and the divine feminine as a representation of the wholeness, not only of God, but of us. You know, embracing the feminine as Jesus did was actually one way in which he was bringing back into balance the very patriarchal world in which he was living, the very patriarchal society. And friends, I feel that we must do the same. It's time to bring up the feminine in our world, in Christianity, and in ourselves. It is my belief that the world is very out of balance right now, and so are we. I think we all need more influence from the divine feminine to come back into our hearts. And that's something that really speaks to me on a very personal level. You know, one of the reasons I chose to leave my 35 plus year corporate career and go into ministry was because I wanted to come back into my heart. You know, the fast pace, the stresses, the heavy demands of corporate life, you know, while it served a purpose and I derived many benefits over time, it began to feel rather soul depleting. I realized I was pulling very heavily from my masculine attributes in order to achieve and be successful. But the feminine part of me was needing attention, was starting to shrink. And I remember saying when I went into seminary, I just want to love people. Maybe some of you feel that same way. I still feel that way. I still feel this sort of longing or connection with the divine feminine. And of course, I feel it even more now that I've become a grandmother, right? Just want to pour the love out on these little babies. It's just the best. You know, I don't think I'm the only one who has this longing to come back into the heart. Whether people speak of it as such, whether they recognize it, is irrelevant. I think that longing is there. Well, how then do we do that? How can we bring more of the divine feminine influence into our lives so that we can begin to feel divinely feminine? And I say this to men as well as to women. One of the first ways to experience more of the divine feminine is pretty simple. Make time for it. Slow down. Rest. Breathe. Look around. Tune into your senses. Your senses bring you right back into your body and the present moment. We live in such an amazing world. Take time to notice, not just today, not just on the weekends, but every day. Second, love yourself. You know, you, as much as anyone else, deserve your love. And you are worthy just as you are. You are precious. You are enough. Listen to what your heart is telling you and give your soul what it needs. Only you know what that is. And finally, notice and appreciate the divine feminine, the divinely feminine people in your life. The people who embody that sort of higher wisdom and love and grace and compassion. You know, Mother's Day gives us the perfect opportunity, though by no means should it be the only opportunity, to say thank you. And so today I would like to say thank you, and also happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, the grandmothers, the great-grandmothers, the stepmothers, the mothers-in-law, all the mother figures out there who love and have loved, whether with us still or whether they've passed on, who knew how to love so selflessly. My own mother, oh my gosh, taught me unconditional love. So selflessly and completely, that's the gift that changes lives. And here's to all of the women out there who are working so hard on so many fronts, the bottom liners out there, keeping everything on track, keeping everything moving forward. And while we're at it, here's to Mother Earth and Mother Nature and Mother God, right? You think about it. They all have this mother label. All of these different aspects of the divine just bless us every day with some of the finest gifts in life. And so today, as you celebrate Mother's Day, as you remember your mother or your own motherhood, whoever has had that special role in your life, I invite you also to nurture the divine feminine in you. Remember, you are divinely feminine and you are divinely masculine, made in the image and likeness of God. It's all in there. So find your balance. Come back into your heart. May we all rediscover the heart of the mother in us and then go forward to manifest a more peaceful and harmonious world. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. Let's turn now to our meditation. I invite you to get comfortable in your seat, your feet on the floor. Take a great, big, beautiful breath in. Feeling the glory of this day and the glory of being alive. Release, release, and let go. Feeling Mother Earth support you. Perhaps appreciating a sense of Mother Nature all around you. Mother God showering love upon you. And just breathe. Breathing in and letting go. And take this opportunity, if it feels right for you, to bring into your heart and mind your own mother, or perhaps a mother figure, if someone substituted in that role for you, but someone who gave you this gift of unconditional love and nurturing in that divinely feminine way. Bring their image to your mind's eye and recall in your heart a deep, deep connection that you've always felt with them, that sense of gratitude, that sense of oneness and blessing. Wherever they are right now, whether with you in the same room or in another physical location or in the next iteration of life beyond this one, send them a blessing. Send them a thank you. And give yourself the gift of just a few moments of remembering a sweet time or a happy memory with that dear, beloved soul in the silence. We go forward now into the rest of the service and the rest of this day, knowing that we are always one with those we love, with gratitude for the lifelong blessings they have brought us. Thank you, God. Thank you to all the mothers and all the divinely feminine souls out there. And so it is. And so we let it be. Amen.